God is good. Another great day in the neighborhood. We just praise the Lord, everything that's going on and what's happening. And we know that a lot of things are being happening right now because there's a lot of people that are being hit with different things. But we just welcome you to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. It's good to be back. And was definitely a good time last Sunday with Steve teaching. We thank you, Steve, on that one. And I hated canceling Wednesday night, but several people were sick. Several people were going to be gone. We were having some issues trying to get here. There were just a lot of things happening. This is a season in which the enemy is rising up strongly. We understand that. There is a real disturbance in the spiritual realm. And before I go through a whole lot what's happening here, I was going to do two things. And the first thing was, I was amazed because I don't know where it went. Fell off in my pocket. They gave us, I don't know why I've seen this. Normally I don't do things like this, but I just felt I thought this was kind of nice, so I would go ahead and do this. But what happened was, having all kinds of fun. Last week, when we were down, I really have a lot of fun. They gave me a tight, you want to get those, that's fine. There's two things fell. It's like crazy. I always have forks go on the floor. That's my main thing is drop the fork. Just do it first, and then you will be over with. Don't worry about it. It's just going to happen, so just do it. No big deal. Then give me a new one, or if it's not there long enough and I can pick it up, I can wipe it off and use it. So. But anyway, we came up there, and they gave us this nice little card down at World Ministry Fellowship. We've had name tags and stuff, but it's a nice card. It just says, World Ministry Fellowship, Keith Versteeg, Family Convo, 2024. I thought that was nice. But I never had anything like this given to me, which is a little pin. It says 20 years of service. Sharon Bunnell had 30 years. Kendall from over in Illinois, which is a state director, had 40 years. I've never had anything quite like that. It was neat. It's even got a little pearls on it, I don't know, they're probably not real diamonds, but they look like it. And it just said, years of service. I don't know why I brought it today. But see, there's rewards. I know now the Lord just said, there's rewards for you for everything that you've done. You never got a reward, but the Lord has it waiting for you. And when you go up to heaven, that reward will be yours. And we're not working for rewards, but I know that God wants you to know that there's a reward. Yeah, I got a little pen here. This is good because it'll all deteriorate and be gone later. It really looks nice. I was kind of surprised. But anyway, it is not about the pen. It's not about what you've done. It's about what has been done because of what you've done. In other words, how many people have been affected? How many people have been touched? How many people have changed? What is the actual purpose of everything that we've been doing? So, like I said, I just felt real strong to bring it. I didn't know why I was going to bring it, but I just did, so that was nice. It's a cool thing. But the other one was that we had Debbie said that she wanted to talk about the broom. The broom tree that we had a teaching on. So she wants to come up and do that. It was a lot of, it's good wisdom. It was a real good word. It was fun. This guy was a comedian.
Sarah, you want to show him the broom tree? It's not quite the same. But the guy, what the orange cones look like? That they're out on the driveway, they're kind of shaped like that, and they're about this tall. Well, he took that cone and put one of those brooms in it, and he called it a broom tree because he sat under it, literally. But you have to have been there. This pastor.
It's talking about the prophet that went out and sat underneath the tree and said, Lord, take me home.
Yeah, fill me in because I just took notes. I thought it was such a wonderful teaching because you understand when we're at World Ministry, they're either pastors or, you know, they're called. They have a calling. But he says, what are you doing here? That's how he started. What are you doing here, Rose? Steve? Karen? What are you doing here? We're going, huh? And he started, he says, there's four reasons of being a pastor. One of them is, let me get my eyes, I am the man. The man. He walked around real secure. I'm the man.
He was talking about, the prophet and how he's walking around and saying, well, I'm going to, block up the skies for rain. And he was doing all these neat and nifty things. And all of a sudden, he was walking around saying, I'm the man. Yeah, I can do all this. I'm in good shape, And it was all how he's going on that way.
That's the first one he taught us, that I am the man. Mm-hmm. And he says he was full of oneself without being prideful. That's tough, being full of oneself without being prideful. Confident, you're going to be bold. Things are going well within your ministry, and people enjoy your ministry. I am the man. Well, the number two is the broom tree. Took him a while to get it set up because it kept falling over, but he got it set up. And then
he brought the cone out first, and he was kind of work on that and sharing what he was kind of his work area, what he was doing. And then he took the broom and he brought it up like that, and he'd start doing the, I'm cleaning stuff up, I'm getting it changed around, I'm doing great. He's using the broom to do what he needed to use a broom for, to clean it up, and then he does that.
I asked him to help me. Of course, we're one anyway.
Yep.
Number two, yes, the broom tree stage of your ministry. Well, he's sitting under this broom. Well, you feel you're not able to finish your ministry. You're just kind of dragging along. And it does. Every pastor goes through this. You pray that you might die. Truth. He said truthfully. You feel alone. Nobody's there to take me and care about me. No one cares. Where are you, God? I'm under the broom tree. Where are you? I mean, he's going on and on. We're all laughing our hearts out. He said 40% of pastors burn out. They're doing, and the reason is because they're doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants you. You're under the broom tree, but you're not hearing from God. Where are you, God? You hide your emotions from everyone except your wife. And here's the pastor's wife trying to figure out what to do. But he says, just visit this place, because you're going to go through it and move on. You seek counsel from another pastor that you trust. Don't just sit there under that broom tree forever, because if you do, you're going to miss out on what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. I just got to get those two.
The average, he also said the average pastor leaves within 5 years.
They're just disappointed.
Yeah. Number three.
And the other one was about that.
I said that.
Now, 50% of pastors' marriages end in divorce.
50%. Well, ours isn't going to.
No.
We taught married ministry for so many years, we got it down. Not that we're perfect. If you know us well enough, you know we're not. Thank God. And number three, go back the same way you started. Seek a new assignment. Get out from under that broom tree, because it will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
He said all pastors in one way or the other will go through it. But don't give up. He said, don't give up. Just keep pushing, seeking God, seeking counsel. Find someone to train to carry on your ministry. Pick your replacement. And the reason they said that is because at this church, the man that did the piano, I guess, electric mm-hmm. piano, he is so talented. I wish you all could have heard him, just so talented. But he says, I'm here not getting any younger. Think about it. None of us are getting any younger. Mm-hmm. And if God has called you to a ministry, you've got to find a replacement. Start training them up. Do you have anything mm-hmm. to say about that?
Nope. A little bit later.
A little bit later. But he also said that religious groups that suffer the most of depression are the Jews and the Pentecostals. Why? Because of their anointing. Mm-hmm. The devil hates that anointing.
Persecution.
Persecution. He also taught us that we need to check our walk with Jesus all the time and guard the anointing that you carry. Without the anointing, what do you have? Ask yourself.
Yeah.
Nothing. I wish I could have given this a little more flavor like he did, because he was exceptionally funny.
Yeah.
But I thought what
he'd be here
what
an
he
hour
said,
or more.
I mean, he was, yeah, he taught an hour on that.
He was a riot.
So that's all I have to say.
Okay.
The last
four. Yeah, it's to train someone to carry up the on your ministry.
Yeah.
Pick your replacement.
The prophet, once he finally, you know, the Lord said go, so he went and he was hoping to hear from the Lord, but all he said, go out and anoint these people.
Mm-hmm.
So he went and anointed them right at last. But yeah, he said that he got stuck underneath the broom tree.
It was so
he got
funny.
Down, he got out, and all of a sudden he got into depression so bad he had to go find help.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had to get some medicines to get himself back in the place where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't stay underneath the broom tree. We all go through it. We all get down. We all get depressed. We all get kind of like, what's going on? What am I doing this? Why is this happening? Don't stay there.
No.
Yeah, you're there for a little bit. Get yourself moved around and get back out and do what you're called to do. And that's what the whole thing was about. He did an excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
With that?
You can have it.
So praise the Lord. It was a great, great teaching. And like I said, you know, he just had that personality and he really related to everybody and everybody's laughing, even though it was a serious situation. But it was true. I mean, when he said that he stuck underneath that broom tree, and it was just an example of what can happen to everybody so much. You get stuck there, it'll take you out because the enemy's got you down. So praise the Lord. I know that, you know, like I said, I hated to cancel Wednesday night, but there was just so much going on. There was sickness there. There's situations happening. The economy isn't good, but isn't, you know, some people are doing all right. We got other people who are out there just fighting all kinds of different things that's going on in their lives. There is a war going on in the spiritual realm. Now, I'm going into the apostolic that I walk in, the apostle gifting. I can blow people away when I start getting into that gifting, because most of the people don't really understand. You know, you guys have more wisdom and knowledge than most. But I'm going to say, when you start to see what is happening in the spiritual realm and what is happening to this world and what is coming to this world, there's true. Biden is going down. Harris is coming in. So politically, we've got an issue going on that's questionable, what's happening, what's going on. There are other things that are working to change and come about. I'm not going to get into that because we're not here for that today. But as I was preparing for this, there's two things the Lord had said to do. So I sat down and I started to prepare. Had to go back and relook at everything, make sure I was going the way that the Lord wants me to go. I don't want to put out anything that of me, just to what God has. But all the things that you see are the sickness, the disease, the concern about the political, all the finances, all the money it's costing to live today that we used to have, you know, where it's getting worse and worse. But spiritually, and I said this before, and you probably might not have, but the Lord had said, I need to write a letter to the pastors of Des Moines. This is from the prophetic, I mean from the apostle gifting that I've got, that the Lord has given me, the authority and power that he has allowed me to walk in. So he says, put that down at first, so explain a little bit what's going on and why. It might help you out a little bit in understanding. This letter was for the pastor, so I wrote this out. The letter is about what God wants for all of us. Talking about all the pastors then in this area. It's about the vision God gave me. At the first of this year, I was in Albert Lea, Minnesota, praying about our fellowship. One day out of the blue, God showed me a vision of a serpent wrapped around Des Moines. a serpent wrapped around Des Moines. I says, oh, I wasn't praying for Des Moines. I was praying for our fellowship. What needed to happen? What was going on? Where was he? But he, because of my gifting, I'm also in an area the Lord opens up doors for me to do for this area. And that was it. I said, I prayed until I heard from the Lord. What I heard was to prepare a letter to let the pastors know about what God said. The Lord said the division between the pastors are holding back revival fire. Division between the pastors are holding back revival fire. In Genesis 11:6, I talked about, you know, it talks about how the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have one language, and there is none can stop them. God in verse 7 says, let us go down and divide them by confounding their language. How did God stop them? He could not stop them. The God of the universe that created everything could not stop them. You have to have a revelation on this because they were one people and one language. What happened to Adam? When Adam was created, he was one person. And when he was divided, he was two people, one language. Because God came down to talk to Adam. He did not come down to talk to Adam and not Eve. Adam, at that time, the female was also considered Adam. Believe it or not. If you realize that. He didn't come down to just see the man. He came down to see both. He came down to talk with Adam, male and female, his image. Everything today is trying to destroy his image. His image as man and woman. Anything other than that is a destruction of the image of God. Plain and simple. You can do whatever you do. You can get people to feel this way, feel that way. But the truth is, it's a breaking down and destroying the image of God. Because if it can destroy the image of God, it brings division. And when division comes in, Jesus said, if my kingdom, if my house, if your house is divided, it will fall. And that's what the devil knew. He's seen what God did to his people building the Tower of Babel. And now he's coming back against hit God's people to destroy them and bring them across. That's where the whole problem is. It's division. And I said, wow. Today, because of the doctrine, we have been divided. Satan has used it very effectively. Just look at Ephesians 4:14. Talks about every wind of doctrine carrying people away. When Jesus died on the cross, he made us one people with one language. See, this has not been put forth in the religious understanding. We now became a son or a child of the living God. If you don't understand, one, meaning there is no female, there's all male. There's no male, there's no female, there's no Jew, no Gentile. Galatians 3, what happens? We are one, a child. We are one with Christ. We are united with God and Jesus. We're all one. One people with one language, which is the Holy Spirit, the understanding of everything that God has. We have the presence of God in us. That's what the problem is. Denominations, I'd heard a guy a long time ago, I forget if it was Latin, wherever they went through, but they went back and it came from another language, and the language meant division. Denomination, it means division. What is division doing? Destroying the kingdom of God. That's what's happening. Pastors don't understand this. I don't know if they do or not. But the fact is, this is the whole problem. I heard, you know, some things going on. Well, this is happening, and this is happening, and this spirit's happening, this spirit. No, it's division. Yes, it's causing the division. Division's the problem. When we change the division, it'll change. He says, when Jesus died on the cross, he made us one people and one language. We need to humble ourselves and seek God and find where we are divided. They have to get a revelation of where the division is. If they don't get a revelation, they won't change. It won't get any different than it is today. Galatians 3:25 through 28. King James, you are in Christ. Christ means anointed by the Holy Spirit. See, that, and so many people don't realize that Christ means the Holy Spirit, an anointing. It's the Christ is anointed. You know, Jesus is anointed. That when he says Jesus Christ, it's Jesus the anointed one. That's what it is. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Many people don't even accept the Holy Spirit. Many denominations deny the Holy Spirit. But they're denying the anointing of God. Born again means to bring forth from above. The same way Adam died by the Holy Spirit leaving him, because sin separates us from God, we have the Holy Spirit in us when we ask Jesus into our life. We are now a child of God. The blood of Jesus has washed our sins, and that separates us from God. That is not a general religious understanding. That is a doctrinal, that is a foundation that Jesus Christ put down. It comes from the Word. It comes from the apostles that followed Jesus. It was built on that. If we build all of our religions on that, if we build every, you know, child of God understood that and walked in it, things would change. That's why this letter he wanted to write. Also had heard a prophecy from God. The wind of the Holy Spirit is going to blow, and those who stand in it, the wind will be blessed. But those who do not and turn away will be cursed. Unless they see it is the Holy Spirit and turn into the wind, I will bless them. But many will not turn. I hate to say it. When the Holy Ghost comes, it's like the old time when there was a revival. A man was praying all night long. I forget if it was Whitmore or who it was. He came out and he started praying and preaching that meeting, and many people fell dead right in the midst of the presence of God. Ananias and Sapphira. If it wasn't for grace and mercy, there'd be many people that never survived when the presence of God fall. Then, you know, people say, oh, no, I don't care. You get to heaven, God ain't going to pussyfoot around with you. Sorry for the word. But the fact he's not going to play around. He's going to, boom! Wow, I wish I knew that when I was done, when you're sitting in hell and the fire's going up over you and the worm's going through your heart and saying, I shouldn't be here. Somebody's lied to me. No, you didn't take time to find out what the truth was. Yes, somebody lied to you, but you want to believe the lie over finding out what God has for you, because everybody has the ability to find out what's happening. That's just the biblical truth. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17, do you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? And 17, and God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. I did not realize that was New Living Testament. I always read it in King James. It says, you are the temple of God. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a temple of God. That's good. I understand it. That was no big deal. I knew wherever I go, I bring the Holy Ghost, you know. And in the old times, they used to have people go to the temple to get, you know, saved and the atonement of their sins and everything else. And I know the Holy Ghost was in me, so I knew I was a temple, and I was just going around. Instead of people coming to me or going to the temple, the temple's supposed to go to them. Think about that. You're a temple. What are you supposed to do? Stationary and stand. Come on, talk to me. I'll get you saved. Come on, ask me this. Come on, do this. No. He wants you to go. He wants to send you with the Holy Ghost. He wants the Holy Ghost out amongst the people. This is a thinking that you have to ask the Lord to know what's going on. But when I read that, that was in the middle of the night. It was dark, and I just pull my phone out, and I just start reading. I read that, and immediately the Lord said, every doctrine, every division, you know, denomination is against my temple. It is destroying my temple. It is bringing division. And it says there, God will destroy anyone who destroys the temple. It's destroying the temple. It's not allowing the Holy Spirit to move and stay in that temple and do what it's supposed to do. I said, wow, there's more to the note, but I just put that down for today to let you know there is a war going on. Devil's not happy. And God ain't going to back down. Start hearing what God's saying. Start praying and seeking the Lord. You might be praying for this, praying for that. I'm not saying don't, you know, just stop it. But you need to understand one thing. You need to be in the will of the Father right now. You need to know exactly what's going on. You see all the issues. Why? I always said, what's the purpose? That was that time I went to pray for the guy. And the Lord said, what's the purpose? I'm thinking to get healed. And he didn't answer. So I knew I was in trouble. So I went back and I waited. I prayed for 2-3 days. And finally, I heard. I said, Father, what's the purpose? He says, to glorify me. God is not going to give healings to people that will not glorify him. That might be against religious teachings, understanding. You want to glorify God? Praise the Lord. Whatever it is, it even, I'm not going down that road. That can be a real can of worms I'm not going to open up right now. That's just what the Lord brought forth, so I put that out. He does it for a purpose. The purpose is to glorify him, to use his situation, know what's going on. That was the first beginning. It was to let you know that there is a war going on. God is not happy with the body. I will say one thing. I believe God will return, and whether you believe it's through the rapture or when he comes back at the end, I don't know how anybody believes. I believe it's the rapture. I want to go on the first bus. I don't want to put up with the rest of this stuff. And the fact is, what happens is, but I know he's put his blood out. He put the word out. He's washing it with the word. And he wants a body without spot or wrinkle. I believe he's going to come back for a body without spot or wrinkle. Spot, we know, is sin. A wrinkle, I didn't know for a long time. I kept thinking, what's this wrinkle? Nobody could give me any revelations on the wrinkle. So I took and I said, well, go back to concordance and look it up. Looked up, it said in the concordance. It meant skin. That really helps a lot. I know skin wrinkles. But why does it wrinkle? When there's no blood. When the blood don't get there, it don't get nourished, and before long it starts to wrinkle. I said, oh my goodness, what's this mean? Because I'm still dealing with it. I had an understanding of this because we aren't moving together in the body of Christ in one. That's my whole full understanding. Prior to a meeting here the other day, I was talking with a minister of the gospel, and they said, I was having a problem in my body and it wasn't getting healed. And I didn't know why. And they continued to say that they were praying, I guess, and the Lord said, because you have odd or error anger against another brethren of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have another problem against them. He says, because of that anger against them, it is blocking the blood in your body to go over here and to heal your body. And then they stated, that's the physical thing. The spiritual thing was, they didn't love. They did not love. And I just spoke that out the last time I taught here. The scripture, and I was trying to think of it right now, but it was talking about that you need to have, you know, he says, if you don't have righteousness, because the children of God, as children of the devil, do not do righteousness. That means they don't love. And he says, if you don't love the brethren, God's not in you. Whoops. That's a sin. It needs to get out of you quick. That's why I turn around and I quit talking about denominations. I don't say denominations. I don't come against people that I've been around like I used to say I was wrong. I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. I have no ill, you know, problems with them. You know, even if they said or did things, that were wrong, that offended me, or anything else, I forgave them. I have to have such a love for the brother. If I don't, then I'm stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit into my brother so that we can have a body, because we're all one. When Jesus looks down on this room, he sees one. One. You have to have a revelation. It's a spiritual understanding. He doesn't see you by yourself. He doesn't see you people over by yourself. He doesn't see two sides with different people on each side. He sees one. In the spiritual realm, we're one. So when you happen to speak against somebody else, that's why we said in Married for Life, when you start talking about your spouse, God sits there and says, what are they talking about themselves for? They're talking about themselves. When you talk about somebody in the body other than yourself, you're talking about yourself. It doesn't do anything for God because you're speaking against the body. You're not walking in love. Your heart might be in such a way that this needs to happen, this needs to change, whatever's going on. But are you really in the love of God for that person? Are you really speaking in the love? Are you bringing forth wrinkles? Are you perfecting the love of God for brethren? Or not? Because if you're not, Bible says they'll know you by your love, by your fruits. And that one scripture, I wish I had it. I was going to get it and I forgot it. But it stated that you need to perfect righteousness. And if you don't, because the children of the devil do not do righteousness. And if you you're not doing righteousness, you don't have love for your brethren. If you have no love for your brethren, that God isn't in you. Because we have not perfected. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the problem. We want to go out and get all the gifts. We want to get all this stuff happening. We all have the good stuff. We want to be blessed, but we don't want to get serious with God and perfect the love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness. Get his character and so strong. That's what the world's looking for. I even put that in my letter for the pastors. That's what when you get that perfected, people run to the church. Run to the church. They want that. The love deficit is so strong in the world today. They need that. That's what they're looking for. They can't find it. They can't even find it in churches. Sad to say. But it's the truth. I'm just going to tell you the truth. That's what God said to his pastors. And Ezekiel 34 says, you're my enemy. You're my enemy. Ooh, I don't want to be his enemy. I'm trying to change. Lord, help me. I don't want to be his enemy. This is horrible. But it's the truth, and it can cause you a problem. So praise the Lord. The other thing the Lord said to me on the way back from Plano, Texas, was to refresh the vision for GSMF. So I'm going to speak a little bit about the vision, and I'm going to open up the very end time for questions. So if you have a question, a concern, or whatever you need to know, or whatever you'd like to put forth, write it down, and I'll give you an opportunity to talk, to say, to bring forth what needs to be done. If you go to our webpage, which Sarah said if she brought it up, you couldn't read it, so she put it down on a PowerPoint. On our homepage, right underneath the building of the church, it says, Gifts of the Spirit Ministry Fellowship is an apostolic cell church. Now, we haven't updated it because it's actually, we realize it's a cell center. It's a little bit bigger than a church. Why a cell church structure? It is biblically allows exponential growth, allows the Holy Spirit to work in signs and wonders, helps motivation, mobilization for ministry, discipleship in the context of the body of Christ, allowing the church to reach out through community, outreach to show the love of Christ. We are here to complete, not to compete. That's what the thing is about. We don't have membership. We are, if you are asked Jesus Christ into your life, you are a member of the body of Christ. I'm not dividing the body of Christ. Well, you got to come join our organization to be, you know, and we'll help you work with that. No, we're not saying that. But also, there's a point where you have to make a commitment. And I haven't done this, but we're working on this. We need to have you say, yes, I am committed to Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. And I put it out, we don't have members, we have disciples, disciples of Christ. And we are discipleship ministry to disciple people for Christ, not for us. I don't care, you can, you know, you might get really excited about Gifts of Spirit Ministry Fellowship. I might go to GSMF, that's fine, you can do what you want. Don't worry about it. I'm a disciple of Christ. If I don't direct you to Christ, you are in trouble. I'm not your father. Or your spiritual father, or never will be your spiritual father, because the Bible says, call no man father on this earth. I will not cross that word. But I know Paul says, we're short fathers. We need many fathers. So we come up with I'm going to be a spiritual father to you. I can't be a spiritual father. A father means creator. I didn't create you spiritually. God did. And I see the body divided so much because they got these spiritual sons. It's like one guy I know of. He said, I asked this man to be my spiritual father. He says, no, I won't be your spiritual father. If I die, you'll be a spiritual orphan. He's not bringing them to God. He's bringing them to themselves. I will use my fatherly gifting to help grow and prosper you, but I will not be a spiritual father. I'll be a spiritual brother in the Lord, because that's all we are. You show me anywhere else in the Bible other than what Paul said about a spiritual father, because that's what the enemy uses. He divides us through those situations. So I just want to put that out and make it very plain. Praise the Lord. Why a cell church strategy? This church today has gone out and they wanted to grow, so they started cell groups. So the cell group is to bring forth new people for the church. It is to help grow the church. The church is it. Everything is about the church, not the cell group. We're very fortunate for another church we were at, and they had cell groups for the first time, so we said if we had a house, which we lived in out in Colfax, and we didn't have, I didn't think too many people from the church would go to Colfax because they couldn't even go, you know, down the road two blocks when it was icy out. So I don't think they'll go, or snowy. They would call in sick. We'd make it, they'd be gone. I'm thinking, okay, I doubt very, very few people go to Colfax. So we said, you have somebody who has a house, we'll do a. So we did. We got going, it was so exciting. People didn't want to quit when they had to, you know, they only did it for, you know, a quarter. The quarter was up, nobody wanted to quit. So I had to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, they don't want to quit. What? They don't want to quit? Everybody else has stopped. I said, yeah, I know, they don't want to quit. There's something different here, I guess. So he said, go ahead. So we went for a while. But see, this is about it, because see, I wasn't doing what they were wanting. I wasn't trying to build up people here to build up the church. I was building them up. That's what the difference was. Before you have a meeting, I wasn't a meeting, it was building, discipling, bringing them into a place of understanding what's going on. That's what the cell church strategy is. The cell becomes the church. Everything's done in that cell. That's what it's required for. That's what it's supposed to be done. It biblically allows exponential growth. In other words, you can grow faster, quicker with a cell. I've watched that happen. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in signs and wonders. I think it was so appointed by God that Debbie did what she said. The thing is, stopping the music and having everybody pray for each other. You know what? I've said that before. I can We did have it happen one time at the other church, at the other building. We were gone on vacation, and I heard the Lord coming to my, I was on the balcony, we were on a cruise, the first cruise we went on, and I was sitting on the balcony, just enjoying myself. Debbie was sleeping, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and the Lord was there on the balcony of the cruise ship, and he said, "The people that you left in charge are not doing what I told you to do." You know, that's not a good thing to be corrected by the Lord when you're not doing what you're not even involved in the whole situation. It's because they didn't understand the vision. Now, it didn't come against it, right? God didn't come against them. He just said, you know, I understood that the vision wasn't understood. So what happened was the person that was in charge ended up deciding, you know, because they came and, you know, the churchy thing. They started to pray for people during the time period of the worship, which was nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, everybody was falling out. And I'm thinking, that's not what God's setting this place up to do. You have to have the vision. You have to understand what God's trying to do. He's not wanting the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to be doing the signs and the wonders. He's wanting you to do the signs and the wonders. He wants you to lay your hands on people and see them healed in this body. I can do it. It happened back then. It was like, you know, they even had a discussion, the people that were in charge at that point. We're going to take these chairs and move them out of the way so we have more people laying on the floor. What good does it do? What is the purpose of a person laying on the floor? Really, what is the purpose of it? It's exciting. It's fun. You get up and you look for some the next time to get slain out and on the floor, because most people don't change when that happens. They have they can have a revelation. Some people can change. But where's the discipleship laying on the floor in the spirit? So did they get up and go around and lay hands on people and start getting them healed? I don't think so. They're looking for somebody else to come lay hands on themselves. I'll be very honest with you. I've felt ashamed, because I haven't done my part. I haven't got the vision good enough. We had people come here. And at the end of the meetings, they'll take and they'll say, "Anybody needs prayer, come forward." And the whole line of all the people in the church are almost up here on the chair. I'm thinking, I'm missing the boat. They shouldn't have to be there. They should be out doing what they're called to do. No, we still come down. Oh, we got to get prayed for. Religious understanding, I'm sorry. I'm so glad that Debbie had that happen, that the Lord spoke to her, that everybody prayed for each other. That's what we should be doing. You know, I have no problems if you're in the middle of the worship and you get something, you're supposed to go pray for somebody. Go pray for them. God's got something through you. You got to release it. If you don't release it, it won't happen. Because I'm not really getting in that position. I could stand up here and call everybody for him. We can have everybody healed, slayed, all that good stuff. What's the purpose? We're not here for that. You want that? There's a church down here probably having a revival going on, and that's exactly what you're going to get. And that's what you want. But why are you going to get discipled? How are you going to grow? Are you really going to get to the place where you believe that you can actually go lay hands on? Are you going to be so anointed by the power of God? Do you have all your questions answered about this and that in the scriptures? Do you know who you are? Do you still have the devil bothering you all the time? If you do, he laying in there in the spirit is not going to change your life. You got to have the understanding of the kingdom of God and what you have, authority and power, and walking in the anointing. You don't get it laying on the floor. Hallelujah. Am I against it? No. Sometimes God uses that to get people going. But more people want that than they do want God, or to change, or to love God. We all have a gift. We all have a calling. That's why we can highly mobilization of ministry discipleship. We get you in your gifting and your calling, and you start using it. Guess what? You're going to do something. You're going to change the world. You are. Not me. You are. I can go out and do it. I did it. I've done it. I've been in a church, and I watched people healed. Many years after, people came up and said, do you remember when you prayed for me? I got healed. I know it, Ken. I've done it. I backed off because I seen too many people lost it. I said, why do I want to pray for people when they lose it? 6 months after they got healed of a heart attack, they die. Why? What good was it? What's the purpose? I see it. I watch it. That's what we're set up for. This is what the whole system is. It's a discipleship to get you so prepared that you know without a doubt who you are, what authority you have, where you're going, what you're doing, and you go do it. And you have a support system behind you to help you get there. Because most people sit in churches. I sat in there for years saying, I wish I could do something, but nobody ever told me. Nobody helped me. I couldn't be around anybody that know me. You know, nobody's ever taught me anything. It's all been by the Holy Ghost. I've learned it all the way through by the Holy Spirit. He used people's teachings to teach me, and the Holy Spirit would inform me. He says, I want a system to where I can train people up so you have wisdom and knowledge. You can make that happen. That's what this is about. So allow the church to reach out through community. We have not even got close to the community aspect of it. I tell you, I'm so blessed with Matt and Frederica when starting up the picnic. You know what? That's an outreach. But when you realize, and I'll talk about this later about community and outreach because it's so important. I praise God. Sorry I couldn't make it this last Saturday because I got so much going on, being back and everything's happening. I just couldn't do it. I'm planning on next month being there. So, but it's the outreach to show the love to God, of God for the neighbors, for your people around you. When you start to show the love of God, what is going to happen? They're going to start drawing towards you. They'll be around you. If you just want to use something or get something from them to use them, you know, they don't really probably too happy when you come around. So I'm just saying, these are issues that are going on. I put down Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I'm going to flow through it pretty quick. You most pretty well know it, but I'm going down to 11, Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the work of the ministry? No, for the perfecting of the saints. What is perfection? I'm going to say it again. I'm telling you today, you will stand before the Lord, and if you're not perfected, it's going to be a factor because the Lord has been dealing with me a lot in this last three or four months, and I've seen, you know, they talk about when you go to heaven. Let's say you die and you go to heaven. The first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have your works tested by fire. And the Lord started to deal me. He says those works all depend on how much love you used. That's how important seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. If you do not have righteousness perfected, I would have you say stop and do nothing more than get on your knees or get in the prayer class, do what you have to and start asking God. Start praying in the Holy Ghost like you never prayed in the Holy Ghost and start saying, Father, perfect the fruits of the Spirit in my life so I can be like you. I can walk in those areas that you walk. I can forgive those that are unlovely. I can see what you want me to see and do how you want me to do for these people. That's what this is about. That's what our family fellowship is about. We should be walking and talking with each person, getting revelation, getting knowledge, learning about these things. It isn't just a group. It isn't just a meeting. It is a family fellowship of developing each other and bringing us to an understanding. One knows more than the other, and you need to give them the revelation knowledge. And if you're fearful or you're bound up or you have a problem and you're not going to give it out because of whatever, then you need to get set free. That's one thing we've got to deal with, is start to work in some areas that we've, you know, there are some issues that have happened that we need to deal with. I got to deal with that. and I'm going to be working with that. I'm back down from being fearful and not wanting to say things to people. I'm going to say it. I'm going to guide and direct people into the place that they need to be. They might not like it, but I'm going to be in the love of the Lord. I'm not going to come against people hard. But if there's something there, I will say it. And I will say we have to get this thing dissolved because this is what the Lord wants. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a tough one to give. Only if you have a heart's desire to do it. How much do you want to go after? Do you want to stay stuck in the rut and believe some teaching that you've had in the past and don't want to change? It's time to change. It's time to grow. It's time to get out there. And the last one right there towards the end is in 16 towards the end, it says, making increase of the body and edifying itself in love. I tell you what. Are we all edifying each other in love? If you are, praise God. If you have a problem on that, you better be working on the fruits of the Spirit and get them down. Because when you get to heaven, you think you've done a lot of good works? It's going to be checking the love that you used on everything that you've done. I know this is right, and I know the Bible says that, and I know the Bible says this, and I can do this, and I can do that, and that's how this is supposed to be. That's how you have the love of God. I sit there and I'd say, I thank God that He is God, because He would have got rid of me a long time ago. Because I'm not perfect. He would have given up and said, too hard, get rid of him. Next! But He didn't. He kept going because He loved me that much. He had a plan for me, so praise God. He says, our mission statement is to perfect the saints to the believe. The saints are the believers in Christ. I put that in there because saints so many times think it's the Catholic, all these people that were here and they all died and they're gone, they're all saints. Nobody felt they could be a saint. No, they don't know what the saints are, so I put that down. To teach to believers how to live a victorious life in their covenant rights and privileges. Most people don't understand the covenant right. Some people don't even understand the blood covenant that we have today. Have to understand that. If you don't have that understanding, if you don't know what your rights and your privileges are, you're still going to be missing, and you're not going to be victorious. I watched that with many, many people. I thought they should know, and they don't understand it. This takes place when the believer becomes rooted and grounded in God's Word. How does that happen? Bible says, break up the foul ground. Where's the foul ground? It's your heart. It's all the hurts, all the pains, all the things that's happened in your life. You got to break it up, destroy it, remove it, get rid of it, clean it up, plant new seeds, the Word of God. Let it grow into your spirit. And then from your spirit, the love of God, the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, will start to take and feed those seeds that are God, and you'll start to produce fruit like you never did before. It comes back down to Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The other one is our vision, to restore the body of Christ back to the divine order established in the early church, to renew the unity of the fivefold ministry gift. The key is unity. Not one doing this and the other doing that. We're all working for the same goal, for the same purpose, with the same vision. And the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and equipping the saints through discipleship, deliverance, sharing our faith, and working in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is done through kingdom teaching and discipleship training. I put down here, sheep have sheep. Shepherds do not have sheep. Anytime I was in a church and they started to change their thinking, bring your unchurched people into church. Get them to come in and we'll get them saved. Shepherds don't get people, sheep saved. Sheep get sheep saved. That's the design. Otherwise, you got a misfit. I heard a guy from Teen Challenge who was ahead of it over there, and he was working with some people, and he says, God, what is wrong with these people? He says, they're misfits. They were conceived wrongly. And that's what you're dealing with. Misunderstandings, being totally brought in the wrong way, and you have to deal with it. I said, oh, never heard that one before. But this is an actual shepherd that worked with sheep, real sheep. And he said, sheep have sheep. Shepherds do not have sheep, or you have a misfit. Sheep that fight amongst themselves do so because they're not reproducing. If you're complaining, you're arguing about this or that or this other person or that person or this or the news is music's too loud or the carpet we haven't changed it or cleaned it enough or whatever else it is, you're complaining because you're supposed to be doing something and you're not. We're set up to get you doing what you're supposed to do. Now, if you don't want to do it, that's up to you. But you can do it. We've set it up to change this around. That's what this is all about. That's the vision. He said the cell groups are to be set up where there will be a fellowship, training, learning, discipleship with each other per speaks. The problems with teaching and Sunday school classes are just that, knowledge centers. How many people come out of college understanding the real world and all their problems? Not many, as most have not had any experiences of the real world. I'll tell you what, you take an engineer that came out of school and you put him in and he'll ruin everything so bad it's like you would not believe. I went to a company, I worked for a company, won't say who because I can't say who it was, and I was opened up into, I was able, we're told we can't say anything, NDA, non-disclosure. And they said, we're going to let you go in here and look because it was an experimental lab. And we went in there and we seen stuff. This guy had designed in the field one little cotter key about this high, about this long. You welded on this piece. Took care of all our problems. It worked good. They had a whole system how you had to put a bolt in there, weld that on, and adjust it up all these different. I mean, it messed it up so bad, we went back to put the cotter keys in. But that's what their whole thing was because they didn't know the actual reality. I'm an engineer. I know what. I've been trained. I've got it taken care of. That's what the average person comes out. When you start putting people right out of the college into a place with no experience, you're going to have a problem. But when you get them in a cell church, the cell church is to do one thing. It is to bring you in, to train you up, to give you experiences. They're supposed to be brothers and sisters around that will come in and start to surround you and help you understand and make things go. So all this is supposed to be happening. I apologize. It hasn't happened that great like it should be here. That's why the Lord said refresh. You know, bring this up. Get it going. Because, see, a vision, double vision can divide. You can have a vision doing this or wanting to do that, and it's not lining up with this vision. Then all of a sudden you got a division. And that's a problem. So we want to make sure the vision is known and well understood. Did you have that did you ever find that thing or not?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I want to explain one thing. We have on our outline, most people have been here have known, we got an executive board. We have a leadership board, which I'll be working with this week, getting things going. I'm going to say this. I have been working hard to split our Wednesday group into two groups. This week I'll be working on it, so we have smaller groups. We'll have other people in there leading the groups. We'll work with them as well. We'll let you know what's going on Wednesday. Wednesday, I want to have a celebration night. I want to have some treats and food and just songs and singing and really celebration. What happens is, as we move into two groups, not this week, the next week, we'll talk more about it this Wednesday or towards the end of the year or the week as I get things lined up. Seems like here every time I try to do something, something's coming up and stopping it. It's not going to stop it. I determined to get it done and make it happen, and we're going to start to grow. See, a community, which we don't have yet, if you have 5 to 10 groups out there, you say, well, we don't have a whole lot of people. Yes, you do, because every time you come together, this is a community group. In other words, we have 10 groups out here. They'll all meet together, so you'll meet your people that you met in those other groups. You'll know. You have time to talk and praise and worship and joy. You can always call somebody and get to know them and talk to them if you haven't seen them for a while. But those groups will have ideas. Each one of them can talk to their leaders. The leaders will talk to the pastor over that group in that community, and they'll start to set things together. It's like you might have a picnic. There might be something else that somebody wants to do, and they'll start speaking to the leaders. The leader will talk to the pastor. They'll start talking to the other leaders and get groups going, and there'll be people from each group working together to make that happen. That's what this is about. See, when you're in a church, a big church, and you don't know the people, you just go in, you can duck behind everything, not do anything, not learn anything, and walk out. Kind of know what your own thing is. You aren't bothered by this. But this one here, you got to grow. The other thing I'm going to start dealing with real quick by refreshing this vision, year and a half, you're out of the family fellowship and in doing what you're called to do. There might be another family fellowship. You might be leading a family fellowship. If you're called for deliverance, we'll work to get you into deliverance. If you're called to work with parents, we'll work you into getting into parents. And you know, this is the whole thing. The problem is, we come here, we got a Sunday meeting, we got a Wednesday church meeting, you know, and that's basically it. It's a meeting. No, we're changing it into a fellowship, a making things happen so that we want you out and doing what you're called to do. If you're an intercessor, we'll have an intercessor group. We'll do what needs to be done. This is what it's all about, is getting things back in order and make things happen. Now, anybody have any questions on what I said? Concerns?
I don't have a question. I have something from the Lord. Organic, not organization.
Yeah.
Organic, not...
Right. And it's an organism. A cell in the body, how does it grow? It starts out with one, and it splits over to two, to three, to four, and it starts to develop. That's what it's about. That's what this is all about. All we are in this area is to help the cells grow and protect them so that they don't get diseased and somebody comes in and starts to change them around. You don't know how many satanic people are out there that are going in and trying to destroy what's going on. And if you don't have some wisdom in the Lord, it'll get you. They'll look good, but they're not. They'll cause you problems. And other directions they'll try. Yes?
What does it say, rooted and grounded in the Word?
Rooted and grounded in the Word. See, the thing is, a lot of people have a lot of Word. I've known people who have Word. They could put me under, I couldn't even debate with them. They have so much Word. They have no knowledge. They have no wisdom whatsoever. The Word is the knowledge, but they have no wisdom. Wisdom, you know, I was talking about total knowledge before. I taught on that. Total knowledge is knowledge with wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. It's seeking the Holy Spirit to understand what's going on. This is what happens when you have a lot of doctrine out there, and these doctrines do not have it backed up by the Holy Spirit. You hear something, and I've had it before. A person that I knew came in, and they said, "Wow, I was listening to this guy teaching. And you know, he's right. I'm believing what he said." And I'm thinking, you're changing your doctrine, your understanding, because of somebody that's talking about something? And then I had another person that was saying, "Oh, I believe in," I'll just put it this way, "he believed in rapture." I said, "Okay." Had no problem. Until they got around another group that didn't believe in rapture. And now all of a sudden, they're not believing in rapture. I'm thinking, what happened? What changed your mind? It wasn't they didn't have the Word. They had used the Word differently to where they understood, "Well, I understand what they're saying, so it can't be." They didn't ask the Holy Ghost. They didn't ask the Holy Spirit. See, when you have that Word of God in you and the roots go down into the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit gives you the wisdom that he gave the people that wrote it, when they wrote it, it came from the Holy Spirit. And so many people use this stuff and they get the Word, but they never get rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit by the Word. So they have wisdom. They have a lot of knowledge, I'd say, but they don't have wisdom. Easiest way to put it. You know, you can have the best gas stove there ever was. But if you don't know how to turn the switch, you know, turn it on, you never cook anything. But you got it. It's got it. It's there. You got the knowledge. You got it. But you can't apply it. The same thing with a car. You can have a car. You can have a key. But if you don't know how to put it in the switch and turn it on and let go of it before the starter burns the engine out, burns out because it's going, because you didn't have enough knowledge and wisdom to use your knowledge. And that's where most people get in trouble, because they're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's where the majority of the doctrine comes from. They get what they see and hear and believe, and they go with it. And they reject what the Lord's wanting to do.
My mother was raised a Christian Scientist, and she did come to know the Lord, so praise God, she's with the Lord now. Can't hear me?
Yep.
All right. So she was a second reader. I don't know if anybody knows about Christian Science, a cult. Very similar to Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, Mary Baker Eddy, Boston, still lost.
Right.
But she knew the Bible. She was a scholar. She was Mensa. She read the Bible in church. She was the second reader. But until she got saved, she had no wisdom. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit opened her eyes. She said, whoa.
Yep.
So, but she knew the word. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't grounded with the Holy Spirit,
right,
until she got saved.
And see, that's why we do this in the groups. We have music. Music is to bring in the anointing. What is the anointing? It comes in, it makes everything alive. It'll start to bring up. You know, if I get in a place where there's a strong anointing, it'll activate my gift in me. I was in one place, every time I went there, I did not want my gift activated. I was exhausted. I drove all night. I had like 3 hours sleep, and I would go in there, and I just want to sit there and listen, enjoy myself, and go home and take a nap. And every time they get into praise and worship, it was so strong, I would activate, and I'd have a word, and I'd have to, oh, man, it was tough. But that's what it's about. We should activate each other. You should be walking in the Holy Ghost so strong when you come in, something's going to activate in the person you're around. So if it's activating a Christian that's sitting beside you, a brother or sister in Christ, what is it going to do to the unsaved when you walk around? They're going to be looking at you. What's wrong with you? It's the Holy Ghost grabbing a hold of them. What do we need to do? You want to change people's lives? Get in the Holy Ghost and let it start to flow out of you. Just start asking God, God, I want my shadow to fall upon the dry bones and have them come alive in the name of Jesus. You start walking down and say, where's the sun? Where's the light? Where's my shadow? I want to get close to that person. Let it rise them up. You do the work. I don't have to do anything. You want me to say something? I'll say, that's what this is, building people up to be that type of person. That's what the moot groups are for. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We be sure you're getting so excited in here. Man, people should be hearing us downtown from what we're saying up in this place. We ain't where we need to be. God said, refresh the vision. Get the vision going. He says, I got people ready to come in. He told me I was leaving, and he says, people are going to come in. Well, they ain't coming in the way we are now. We're going to change, and they're going to want to come in. They're going to love us so much because we love them, because it's the first time. I said, I got to be very honest with you. Last night, I talked with a man. I've known him. We've talked about getting together. It just hasn't worked much. And I explained some things that the Lord's been saying. And he apologized, and he said, we need to be getting together, but because of the fleshly things and all the work and stuff, I haven't put that effort towards doing that. But we've got something in common, and we need to be doing some things together. And for the first time, I felt like somebody understands me. I'm not saying that you guys don't understand. I mean, outside of some people here. I said, wow, it felt so good to be understood. So good to be wanted. Somebody to accept you the way you are. If you're not being accepted the way you are, then we need to change. We need to get something flipped around here. I'm just telling you. You know, you're going to have to talk to me. Get this thing worked out. It's time to make this place be a Holy Ghost powerhouse. I said, we're expecting when people walk in that door, they won't be standing very long. They're going to be staggering trying to get to the chairs. Because the Holy Ghost is here. Not because you are here, because the Holy Ghost is here. But with you here, the Holy Ghost better be here. Because if you ain't got the Holy Ghost in you, you're in the wrong place. You need to have it in you. And that's what the Lord says. Refresh the vision. Let's get this refreshed. Let's get this thing going in such a way you've never seen. It can happen. Just pray for me. Help me to get through these processes. Because I'll tell you what, the enemy, as I said, he's trying to bring division. He's trying to stop things from happening. But if we're one language and one people, there's nothing he can do to stop us. There's nothing that he can do to stop to change this city, to change the people in your neighborhood, to change whatever is going on. We need to look outside ourselves and a meeting into what God wants us to do and how is he going to do it and what do we need to activate us and to teach us and allow us to go. What is our desires? Our desires really lining up with what God wants. A lot of the stuff that I'm doing is simply because I said back there in 80, Lord, not my will, but thy will. What do you want? I will do it. Not been easy. That's why we're here. So praise God. Father, any other questions before I go? Because this is a good time to ask. If God's given you something, you need to say it. That's what it's about. We're locked up. It's time. I mean, there's times going to happen. I believe if we get this thing rolling, God's going to move if we're in order with God, not just letting somebody get up and do something. But if God says this is it, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to be. It's not going to be normal to us, normal to God. And I'm willing to let that happen as long as it's in the will of the Father. Most people won't. I will. Because it's not about me, it's about God. Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for this blessed time. We ask for this refreshing of your vision that we can get to the place where we need to be. Help us to guide and direct this place. Father, I know there's great and magnificent things in each and every one of us to tap into to make us even better than what we are today. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to bring forth a vision. We will become one person with one language, and that's the language of love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness. That doesn't mean that we can't say something to our brother or sister if there's a problem. It's how we say it and why we say it. The other thing is sometimes we just have to sit back and say, Father, I pray this word over my brother or sister, and thank you that you're going to do a work in them, because sometimes it's only you, Father. Just as we heard Cheryl said one time where she took and she said to Thurman, Dad, I need a puppy. You're going to have to talk to my husband so he can give me a puppy. And God did. He talked to him and says, I got a puppy just for your wife. And he didn't want to have one. That's what's got to happen sometimes. Sometimes we've got to ask the Father to do what you think needs to be done. Because sometimes he'll say, son or daughter, not your problem. Give it to me and I'll take care of it. And you can release it, and you can be walking joy and happiness. And you just say, not my problem. I do that a lot because I know the Father, and I know what he wants. I know what he can do, and I know the will of the people are stubborn, and they don't want to change sometimes. So I release it to him and let him do what he needs to do. Not my problem. I give you glory, Father, for all that you're doing. I thank you for each and every one here. I thank you that you bless each and every one. Father, I ask that you come down and break and destroy every sickness and disease, for it is an attack of the enemy. The evil one has been working hard to get people sick and diseased. And Father, your son died on the cross so that we don't have to walk in it anymore. And I thank you, Father, for full healing for everyone in this place, and bring us into your place of love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, and kindness, that we might walk in your way and be like you and just do what you want us to do, and we just be blessed, and others will be blessed because of it. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen.